So we are in 50 days of transformation. We've talked about lots of things. We've talked about spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health. Today we're going to talk about financial health, and next week we're going to talk about vocational health. So you should be really healthy by now. Very healthy. And of course we know that our health, all of these different areas, it all comes from the Lord. Do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that comes through the Word of God. So today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects and yours as well, and that is money. And we should talk about money. We should talk about money a lot in the church because Jesus always talked about money. He really did. One out of every six verses in the gospel are about money. Half the parables are about money or how to manage it, because Jesus knows that we think about it all the time. You're thinking about how you're going to earn it, how you're going to save it, how you're going to invest it, and of course, how you're going to spend it. Jesus knows that if we don't learn to manage money, money will manage us. So we have this wonderful parable today, one that is unfortunately, often misunderstood, probably because of the name. The name is the parable of the dishonest manager. So the point of the parable is learn to be dishonest. No, that's not it. That's not it. The master commended the dishonest manager, not because he's dishonest. He acknowledged he was dishonest, but for his what? Say it. Shrewdness. For his shrewdness. Here's the point. For the sons of this world, those are unbelievers, people in the world, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation, the people of this world, than we are, the sons of light. So we got to be more shrewd. We got to use resources better, more intelligently. We got to be smarter in how we use the resources God has given to us. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. First of all, four things not to do with money. All right, there's probably more. I got four. Four things not to do with money. First of all, don't waste it. All right, don't waste it. Earlier, Amy had talked about the carnival. How many of you went to the carnival last weekend? Anybody go to the carnival? Wonderful. How many of you sent your kids away and then you didn't see them for about 3 hours? That's what I would do if I had kids, right? Send them away. Did you give them any money? You probably did. So kids, I'm talking to you now. You were using mom and dad's money. Now, I went to a carnival every year when I was a kid, about your age. Every year in September, there was a carnival in my hometown, and it was almost always on my birthday. So it was like doubly good, right? And my grandmother, this was about 10 years ago when I was a little kid, when money meant something, right? So $5 was a lot of money. And she would always tell me the same thing. She would say, don't waste it. Don't waste it. You know what that meant? It meant spend it in a way that you would enjoy all day. So don't eat the cotton candy. That's wasting it. Don't go to the funnel cake. Don't waste it there. Use the rice and don't buy the junk. Don't buy the junk. Does hermit crab mean anything to any of you parents? Yeah, there you go. All right. You got to buy the aquarium then. You got to buy the it goes on and on. So she'd say, don't waste it. Well, God says, I'm giving you money. It's on loan to you while you're here on this earth, so don't waste it. Secondly, don't love it. You know, love people, use money, not the other way around. Don't love it. There's a verse here. Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, circle that word, you cannot serve both God and money. There's only one God. Let God be God, not money. If money becomes God, God is no longer God. Have you ever had two bosses? Anybody? Two bosses? It doesn't work very well, does it? You know, who do I obey? You know, him, her? I don't know. Guys, have you ever had two girlfriends at the same time? How'd that work out for you? All right? Two wives, anybody? You're an idiot. Don't do that. It doesn't work. You can't serve two people, two things. Don't love the money. Three, don't trust it. Don't trust it for security. Proverbs, your money can be gone in a flash. You know, people say money talks. I disagree. It just kind of flies away quietly. Never tells me. It's just, there it goes, right? As if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. So we can thank the U.S. government. They put an eagle in every dollar bill. It's a reminder. Bye-bye. See ya. Right? $5 bill, too. I don't know. Not on the 10s or 20s. I don't know what's up with that. So don't trust it for security. In fact, don't trust anything that you can lose. And I can give you 1,000 ways where you can lose money. Anybody ever lose a job? Yes. It's painful, isn't it? You didn't like that much. Don't trust in the job. How about people? You ever lose a people? Yeah? It's painful, isn't it? Very painful. Especially if you trusted in them for your security. Trust God. He's the only one, the only thing that will never leave. He promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always love you, and it will be unconditionally. Not because, not if, but period. I love you. So don't waste money. Don't love it. Don't trust it for security. And finally, don't expect it to satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. Again, Solomon writes, whoever loves money will never have enough. Never. And whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with his income. Remember Howard Hughes? Howard Hughes? Not Hugh Hefner, that's another guy. Howard Hughes, right? Very wealthy guy. Rich man. Somebody asked him one time, how much money will it take to make you happy? Classic line, he said, just a little bit more. Anyway, you had a lot. That's the way it is. It's never enough, but that is where our happiness comes from. Jesus said, guard against all kinds of greed because your life is not measured by how much you own. Not measured by how much you own. It's not in the Bible, but I would suggest that your life is measured by who owns you. Does money own you? Or are you a child of God? Jesus died for you. He redeemed you. He bought you back from sin and the devil. And so these four things not to do with money. Don't waste it. Don't love it. Don't trust it. Don't expect it to satisfy. But what can we learn then from the parable of the dishonest manager? Well, five things, I think, probably a lot more, but five this morning. First of all, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. It's on loan to you for a while. Your brain belongs to God. Your money belongs to God. Your house, your children, your car, everything, it all belongs to God. And I really like this because now if I dent my car this week, it's not my problem. It's God's car, and he's gonna have to fix that thing. You know, the kids need braces. God is your kid. You take care of it. It all belongs to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are in management. You are in management. And then say, you are not the owner. All right? You are not the owner. So we're a manager. We are a steward for whatever amount of time God gives to us while we're here on the earth. He loans us all this stuff. And then we're supposed to manage it. So how you doing? You managing the body good? Good and healthy? You managing the brain well? Learning new stuff all the time? Managing the blessings that God has given to you. So, it all belongs to God. And then God is using money to test you. God is using money to test you in three ways. They're in your notes. Money shows what I love most. Money shows what I trust most. And money shows how much God can trust me. You know, I was a high school biology teacher for a number of years, and we would have a lab, you know, not when I'm lecturing, but we would have a lab, and we'd have to dissect things, and we'd have to do things under the microscope. And always there would be a kid, always, in every class, he would say, "Mr. Tiemann, is this going to be on the test?" Always. And the answer, of course, it's all going to be on the test. It's all going to be on the test. This life is a test. Every day is a test for tomorrow. God says, how can I trust you? I'll give you a little bit. I'll give you some earthly stuff. I'll give you some material things. I want to see what you're going to do with it. If you do well, I'll give you more. And I'll give you more important stuff. Spiritual stuff. Eternal stuff. It's all a test. Money tests what you love. Now, there's a verse there, I think. Let's take a look. Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not, anybody? What happens to treasures on earth? And it's all destroyed, right? Jesus said, moth and rust destroy. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So don't store up the material stuff, the earthly stuff, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, you can't take it with you, the material stuff, but you can send the spiritual stuff ahead. You know, put it in the U-Haul. It goes ahead. Pretty cool. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's what God wants, not your money, not your stuff. It's all His anyways. He wants your heart. That's what He wants. So this is how you spell love. It's not in your notes. This is bonus. You spell love, G-I-V-E, give. Guys, how many of you bought your fiancé before you got married an engagement ring? Anybody do that? Why'd you do that? Because you love her. That's the right answer. You might have other answers. That's the right answer. Because you love her. And you wanted the whole world to see how much. There it is. Right? Why do you buy her flowers on her birthday? Say, because I love her. Because I love her and I know she'll kill me if I don't. Right? Parents, you know this. You give to your children because you love them. Now, you can give without loving. That is very true. But you cannot love without giving. You can't. That's how you spell. You look at the checkbook Laura had up here. What does that say? That tells you who and what you love. What does your credit card say? That tells you who and what you love. And so does your calendar. You can spell love T-I-M-E as well. What you do with your time, that shows who and what you love. So, that's number one. Number two, money shows what I trust most. And number three, money shows how much God can trust me. What can we learn? God uses money to test me. It all belongs to God. And money is a tool. Money's a tool. A lot of people think, well, money's evil. You know, we say that a lot in church. No. Money is not evil. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It can lead to bad stuff, but it's a tool. Now, I was going to do a demonstration this morning, but I forgot my prop. So pretend this is a hammer, all right? Anybody, what do you use a hammer for? Pound nails, that's what you should use it for, right? I used to pound my brother with one. I shouldn't have used it for that, but I did. Or him, right? There you go. So money's it's a tool. A hammer's a tool. You can use it for good, pound nails. You can use it for bad, pound your brother. Shouldn't do that. Money's a tool. You can use it to build a church, good thing. You can use it to finance drugs, bad thing. Money's a tool. It's like a hammer. Or it's like manure. This is a joke, by the way. It's like manure. So you can spread it all around and make things grow, or you can pile it up and then it begins to stink. It's a tool. Neither good nor bad. It's a tool. Now, in the parable, the manager, he does three things. Remember, he's dishonest. He's been caught. He's going to lose his job. And so he says, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I'm too lazy to dig. At least he's honest. I'm too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. He looks ahead and he says, I'm going to go to all of the creditors, all of my clients, all of the master's clients, and I'm going to say, how much do you owe? 100 measures of oil. Okay. Make it 50. All right. Good deal. Goes to another. How much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat. Oh, make it 80. All right, good. So he looks ahead, and then he makes a plan. And he acts quickly. He doesn't have much time. He's going to be fired soon. Proverbs, you put the verse up there, Proverbs says, the wise man, the wise person, looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool who? Himself, and won't face the facts. So what are the facts? Well, here's a few. Fact, people in Europe save on average 12% of their income. 12%, pretty good, 12%. People in Japan, they save on average twice that, 25%, even better. People in America, any guesses? A lot less than 25, a lot less than 12, keep going down, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Some studies say not one, not zero, minus one. That's heading the wrong direction. We all know people, maybe we've been there as well, who spend more than they earn. The fool attempts to fool himself. We need to face the facts. We need to make a plan, which is called a budget, short term, long term. We need to make a plan. A good plan is to take 10%, give it to God, because he's really good at managing money. After all, it all belongs to him. Then take 10% or more and save it. And then guess what? You still have about 80% or so to spend. It's a pretty good deal. So money is a tool. And then the last 2 points, and now you need to wake up and listen. All right? Everything else we said has been good stuff. Here's the best stuff. Save the best for last. First of all, letter D. The best use. My friends, there's all kinds of good uses for money. God has loaned it to you, just like my grandma. And she said, spend it, and I did. God loaned you all this stuff, all these blessings, all these resources for a time here on earth, and he wants you to enjoy it. He does. He wants you to have the abundant life, the good life. And you can use it on yourself. You can. You can also use it to help others. That's a good use. You can use it to glorify God, a great use. But the best use, the best, is to get people into heaven. To store up treasures in heaven, not just here on earth. Because the stuff here on earth doesn't last. But the stuff in heaven does. This is how Jesus says it, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. That's earthly stuff. so that when it fails, because it always does, you can't take it with you, they, the people of this earth, may receive you, that's you, into where? The eternal dwellings. Where are the eternal dwellings? Where is it? Anybody? Where's the eternal dwelling? Heaven! Heaven! The best use of God's money is to use it, use your affluence to influence the people of this earth. That's the point of the parable. People on earth do it all the time. God's people, sons of the light, daughters of the light, start being more shrewd. Use God's resources in the best way. You see, this is what's going to happen. I promise you, this is going to happen. You are going to die. Sorry to break the news to you. You are going to die, and you are going to heaven. Yes, I guarantee it. Christ has won heaven for you. He's died on the cross, and you are connected to that gift by the faith he's given you. So you die, you walk through the pearly gates, and you come, and there's going to be a crowd of people. I hope a whole lot more than these, but a whole lot of people. And this is what they're going to do. They are going to applaud. Isn't that great? They're going to applaud. Wow, it's so good to see you. This is so wonderful. We have been waiting. And they're going to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For what you did to share the gospel so that I knew the way to heaven. Thank you for whatever resources you have used, for whatever amount you gave to the church, what you contributed to the capital campaign to build a church where more people could come and hear the gospel. Thank you for buying the Sunday school curriculum, the catechisms, the Bibles, for keeping on the lights. All of that, whatever you have done. That's what motivates me. Don't misunderstand, you can't buy your way into heaven. Christ has done that. But you can influence with whatever God has loaned you during your time on earth to make sure that others hear the gospel. I know we all love our IRAs, and hopefully grandparents, you're contributing to your grandchildren's and your children's. The best IRA is not an individual retirement account, but it's an individual resurrection account for those children and grandchildren and friends and neighbors and the people in our community. So I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of your influence here on this earth so that people will welcome you and thank you for your contribution to them getting into heaven. And finally, learn this. My friends, if you are faithful with a little, whether it's money or talent or influence, whatever it is, the parable of the talent says you get more. You get more. At the end of the day, at that carnival, I'd come back to my grandma. She'd say, how'd you spend your money? Well, I bought a hamburger. Okay, good thing. You were hungry. I rode the Ferris wheel with my brother. Really good thing, because we didn't get along. I didn't buy any junk. Good job. Here's five more. And that's what our God does. Financial health. Certain things not to do. But recognize it all belongs to God. And He wants you to use it. He wants you to spend it. He wants you to enjoy it. But the best use is when we use it to share the gospel.